I listened to the prophet, and he said, things are changing. Yep. And he preached a message called Today. Today. He said on January 1st, things would change, and it did. And it's going to, even more. But I like the word today. I want miracles today. I want to live in the rest today. I want America to be great today. And I'm not like Pharaoh. I'm not like Pharaoh. Pharaoh, Moses says, when do you want the frogs to leave? Tomorrow? Let them leave tomorrow. I'd be like, right now. Right now. Let the frogs leave right now. I want some right now. And I know, you know, there's a lot of people and they're the God of the 11th hour, the God of the 11th hour. Well, he's the God of the first hour too.
Amen.
And the second, that does everything, you know, there is a scripture that says God will help her right early.
Yeah.
So not everything has to be at the 11th hour. It just feels like it to you sometimes. But God knows his timing. He knows what he wants to do. But I declare that we're going to have some today. We're going to have a lot of todays. We're going to have some suddenlies. And I know you're thinking, well, Pastor, some things take time. They do. And we've seen what's happening in America. It took some time to get a lot of things out. But we're also going to see some todays. You know, recently I talked to you. Oh, you can go to Matthew 13, 15, please. Recently I talked to you about Zachariah and Elizabeth. You remember that last Sunday? And we talked about how that the angel came. It was Gabriel. And he said, I'm here to tell you that the prayer you prayed, I'm going to answer that prayer. But if you look in the Greek, it actually said, the prayer that you have already quit praying, I'm going to answer. Sometimes people wait and wait and wait and wait, and then they finally give up. But you can't give up. If you give up, you could actually miss the blessing. I've seen people in their life give up. They give up on having babies. They give up on having the career they want. They give up on their dreams. They give up on America. We've seen that. Oh, well, we lost. We didn't lose. We didn't lose. They give up on different things, but we don't need to give up, church. And God doesn't give up. And I think that dreams and healing and such could manifest sooner if we had some understanding. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually the title of the message, Understanding. So look with me now at the scripture, Matthew 13, 15. It's very familiar to you. It says, for this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. I'm at Matthew 13, 15. Are you there? Okay. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time, everybody say at any time, they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, in verse 15 there, it said, lest at any time, lest at any time. That means that if they would take an opportunity to understand, if they would take the opportunity to understand, they could be healed, their life could be changed, they could come on through. Amen. So they would see a harvest, they could see a manifestation, they could get a miracle. It said that their hearts were hardened. They heard, but they didn't, they only heard with their paddles. They didn't hear with their heart. It didn't get into them. It just got into their ears. And then what we see there in Matthew, also in Luke, and over in Mark, that right after Jesus talks about this, he talks about the sower sowing the word. The sower sowed the word. So he began to give them an explanation then of how things work. The word had to get in their heart and stay in their heart. You had to find good ground. You couldn't be stony ground. You couldn't be thorny ground, right? You couldn't be wayside ground. You had to get something in your heart. And so that's how the kingdom of God actually works there. And so we need to then what? Understand. We need to understand. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So through faith we understand. Now, here's what I want to get to. Hi, Carter. I've been looking for you. Don't run off. I need to ask you something. It's good. To understand, we must listen to this now. Now, you're going to walk with me through this so that you don't roll into something I'm not saying, okay? To understand, we must obey revelation or revelations and put them to practice. Now, I am not talking about works, okay? I'm going to give you an example. If today I spoke to you about caring for the poor, you could be moved in your emotions. But if, and you could be moved in your spirit. It could begin to get there with you. But if you don't do anything practical in the next 2 or 3 weeks, perhaps like finding a family who needed something, or you know someone, they're going over to the helping center and taking them some peanut butter or whatever the case may be, helping someone in need, then that word is open to be taken from your heart. You got it? You heard it. It was a good idea. We could say this about inventions. You heard it. It was a good idea, but you didn't do any practical thing. You didn't make any action, corresponding action to it. And so it's set up. It's available to be taken from you. Like, huh? Yeah, but just walk with me. You'll see. So if it's taken from your heart, then there's no place for it to transform your life. Okay? See, revelation takes us only halfway. Experience leads us all the way. And you know that by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't you? You can have a revelation about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but until you experience it, and then, wow, amen. So the great tragedy is that if you don't move into experience, the revelation remains locked in your mind. It doesn't get down in your heart. Are y'all here? You see that? And then it just becomes mental assent. There's no practice to it. There's no faith effort to it. It's just in your mind, which we don't need. Are you getting this? You know, there are great crowds of people, denominations, and movements who will fight to the death to defend divine healing or prophecy. But they never see those things happen. Why? Because they have a revelation. They can't point to the truth of its validity in their personal experience. And then sometimes I've seen people come through here like, I've been unable to receive. I can't seem to get it. Well, that's all they've practiced, is not getting it. See? And then it becomes harder and harder and harder. And then they say this stuff doesn't work. It can't be true. Okay? Hearing without doing has locked you into a form without power. Okay? Hearing without doing. I'm not talking about works. Just walk with me on this. You remember last week we talked about James 1:22. Let's go there, because this is where the argument, people just talk about this being works, but I see something different here. James 1:22 says, "Do what God's word says. Don't merely listen to it, or you will fool yourselves. If someone listens to God's word but doesn't do what it says, he is like a person who looks at his face in a mirror, studies his features." Now get that. Studies his features, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. Okay? However, the person who continues to study God's perfect teachings, his word, that make people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and forget. Listen and forget. Wayside ground. Thorny ground, stony ground. Listen and forget. They actually do what God's teachings say. Now, I'm not talking about, and there's nothing wrong with keeping the commandments, but I'm talking about keeping the word of God in you. Okay? The King James says, be a doer of the word of God. Now, I think that's right. I think we should be doers of the word of God, because I think it means what Mary did. The Bible says she pondered in her heart what the word himself was doing. I believe she pondered word before the angel ever came. Why? Because she said, okay, this is going to happen. Now, how's it going to happen? Instead of, how could this possibly happen? No, she had a different attitude. She must have read Isaiah that said a virgin will bring forth a son. She must have read some of the, heard the prophets talk. She must have known something about the word. She must have pondered things. And then once Jesus was here, she continued to ponder. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you'll continue to ponder the word, if you'll continue to meditate the word, you will begin to understand. Okay? So that's one way of being a doer of the word. And then we see that you need to not just hear, of course, but to understand. And to understand, you have to hear it and then experience it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, not works. You speak. Jesse just went right down the line with this in the worship and in her message just a minute ago. She went right down the line on it, talking about there's something you do. Faith speaks. Amen. And so as long as you're going to keep your mouth shut, you're not going to have the experience you want to have. You're going to have to open your mouth. Everyone in here right now that's saying, that's right, amen. The womb of their spirit is open right now, and they're receiving revelation to the point where they are getting understanding because they are reacting to the word. Amen. That's what I'm talking about being a doer of the word. See, in the word, it says that I should help the poor. But I can't say, well, it says I should help the poor. I hope they're warm and fed. Right? But hope is not today. Hope is in the future. Faith is now. So you pray, Lord, I declare I'm a doer of the word. I would like to help someone. Please show me how to help someone. I won't jump ahead and create my own version of this. But I will watch you and I will do what you show me to do. Now, that was just being a doer of the word. All right, that's my first step. Step number one, I'm going to do this. Let's just do something different here because you all will just really get this. Let's say that you heard at church this scripture, which you have heard thousands of times in this church, James 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Have you heard it?
Yes.
Okay, let's say you did hear it. And then the preacher said, John 10:10. Oh my goodness. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it more abundant. Have you heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
And then you had that scripture there, and then you sat there and you just looked into the mirror and you've seen yourself being cared for by a good God. Okay? He's only good. And you looked into the mirror and found out that it was the enemy who's the thief and the murderer. And that this father of yours isn't doing it. You saw that that's who your God is by looking into that. Then you sat there thinking, wow, you know, I'm kind of new at this, but all of those doctrines I heard about God being the cause of evil things, like death and pain, they're obviously not true. I just now see that in the Word. So you had some revelation. Are y'all following me? But then you leave and you say, well, the church I grew up in said that God killed people, that God wanted you poor, that God wanted you to be broke, that God wanted you to be broken, that after all, look at Job. And if you were hungry enough, you look for the truth, even if it meant having to admit that you were taught wrongly. True. Boy, did I have to get rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And see what the Bible said. And so then you go and you look into it. And if you came back the next week, you heard someone say something like this. They said, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost of power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Oh, the devil's the oppressor.
Yeah.
Okay, this is adding to the truth with me. Yeah. This is adding to the truth. And so then you kept coming around a little more and you said, okay, here it is again. There's a devil. He's the oppressor. And I see Jesus is doing all this good stuff. He's opening blind eyes. He's casting out devils. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. And he isn't throwing cancer on anybody. You've looked into the mirror again and you've seen yourself living with this good God. Amen. So, you have to experience some things. So you start singing. And you start singing about the good God. And the good, good Father. And you find yourself saying God is good all the time. And before, when you said God is good, and the other person would say all the time, all it was just a little Christianese thing. Which the whole Christian world will say God is good, but they don't really believe he's good because they think he's killing people. They think he's destroying their lives. They think he's putting stuff on them. But then all of a sudden when you say God is good, it rings something different on the inside when you begin to hear it. Is anybody with me? So, then you have to dig deeper and see what really happened in Job, because we need to be able to explain to people and tell them the truth of what they missed there. And so then you find out that what Job feared came upon him. Fear is the reciprocal of faith. It works just like faith. It will draw the enemy, whereas faith draws God. And so the Bible clearly said that Job feared. He went out and was doing sacrifices to try to keep his kids alive because he was so concerned at their party, and he's concerned they'd all die. And they did. So that wasn't the way to go. He wasn't supposed to be worried about them and be in fear about them. No fear about your children, church.
Amen.
You commit them to the Lord.
Right.
So God won't lie.
That's right.
So when Satan comes and says, you got to hedge around Job, God said the truth. He's in your area. He's in fear. That's all that was saying. It wasn't saying, hey, I challenge you, if you let him out from behind that hedge, I'll get him. No, that's not what he's saying. Job let himself out from behind the hedge. God said he's in your territory.
Yeah.
You're going to have to read more translation than just how the King James says it,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get into it. And then what you find out here is Job put himself there. And then, like, as Jesse was talking earlier about this kind of thing, so many today, he blamed God, and he said this, God giveth, and God taketh away. Now, wait a minute. When did that become the revelation? Because Judas said that money could have been used for the poor. Judas said, there he is, I'll give him to you for 30 bucks, 30 silver, whatever it is, not 30 bucks, pieces of silver, excuse me. Zechariah said this, so-and-so said this, everybody said this. It didn't mean God said it. How many things have been, what about that guy laying by the pool? He said, nobody will help me. God didn't say that. The man said it. God didn't say God giveth and God taketh away. Job said it. And God came along and said, you've spoken wrongly of me. And then he had those other guys to help him get in a further mess. That's why you want to watch your circles. Watch your friends. Amen. So, in the end, though, as soon as Job turned his mouth around and started praying for his friends, he got everything back. He was like a country music song played backwards. He started getting everything back, and in fact, he did better than he'd ever done. Now, most of you here today, and yeah, go on out and challenge me and read Job, but you're going to have to get technical about it. You're going to have to, and Paul's thorn too. You're going to have to find out what really happened there. It wasn't a sickness. But I'm telling you, it says very clearly it was a messenger of who? Satan. Says it in the Word, even in the King James. Anyway, I'm not going to study that for you, but you'll have to go and really dig. But I'm telling you, this is all there. So you're not going to use those scriptures to prove that God has the devil on the chain and he lets him out a little bit to test you. The devil is self-employed. And God's not using him in any way. God will use your situation. Yeah, he will. But he didn't cause it.
That's right.
But if he can help you to get to the truth, he'll come in there and start working toward the truth. But he's not going to enhance a disease and make it worse on you. He's going to start getting people to you to tell you the truth. This is making me happy. Now, I got to get back on the plan, though, today here. I always like preaching on God is good, as y'all know. So, now here today, we just went through all this, and I'm like, I don't know everyone here because we have visitors here. I don't know who all's listening, but in our church, I'm going to say that right now about 98% of the people already believe that God is good. Yeah. And if you've been here more than 3 weeks, you're already on it.
Yeah.
So, God is good. Now, most of you here today then, if someone says, God put that sickness on so-and-so. Or, see, did you hear that? Did you hear? Or, okay, see, how fast did that response come out? Or, God needed to bring that loved one home. See, because you've already studied, you've become a doer of the word, and you already understand and you already have a response that God, he is not the source of those things. And then, if you believe he's those things, you'll never use your faith on anything. Because you'll always wonder, well, maybe this is just God, so why should I use my faith? The point is to know the will of God. That's what we're talking about here. Get understanding of the will of God. What is the real will of God? It's right here in the New Testament for you. Now, so, because you're a doer, you heard it, you studied it for yourself, you pondered on it, you got revelation, and then you experienced it by having faith and acting like it was so. And so, this is how you acted on it. When something came up, you said, well, I already know this isn't you, Father. This is not you. You did not cause my car to get a flat tire. That nail did. Which just happened to us. You did not cause the baby to get the croup or whatever. That's your doing. That's your doing. See? You're practicing who you are. All right, now we're going to go one more place. We are responsible. The body of Christ is responsible for divine healing.
Amen.
Proving the will of God. God's will is to heal. It's all over the scriptures. Also, we can just find out what God's will is in three places. Heaven, the garden, and Jesus. All three places, there's no sickness that can stay. In the garden, it didn't exist. In heaven, it doesn't exist. In Jesus, it doesn't exist. And he went about doing good, healing all. Everybody say all. So imagine if he would have said to blind Bart, Bart, sorry, Father put that on you to teach you a lesson. It's really silly, isn't it? Sorry, Bart, you're out. You know, we can't help you. Everybody else here, all 22,000 people I've just walked by have gotten healed, but not you today. But I tell you what, if you say in many churches today that you pray for the sick, they're going to say you're under the influence of the devil while God has given the gift of disease to make a better Christian out of you. Disease is not the teacher of the church. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. But see, you have to put revelation into practice. If a blind person walks up, do not pray, God, open the eyes of their heart. Chicken. So, if they don't get their full sight that day, it'll be all right. Because you have to practice and experience these things. I said everything I just said today to wake you up to this right here. God wants to use you. And he wants to use you in miracles. He wants to use the whole body of Christ, not just the preachers. He wants to use all the body of Christ in signs and wonders and miracles. And you're going to have to come to the place where you will actually practice. Because if we just talk signs and wonders and miracles, then they're just going to stay in our minds. But if we begin to practice, to go ahead and say, ma'am, can I pray for you? And you get out there and pray for them? Well, I no, you never call me up to pray for people. Not here, out there. And here, certainly. You get to practice here when you come to the circle. Amen. In the comfort of your own home where you can be safe and have correction if you need it. And now, wait a minute, we're going to do that a little bit different. We don't want to do that, you know. So take care of the sheep. But we're called to do this. We're called to practice. When you start putting this into practice, you may not even see people get healed 50% of the time. But eventually you'll see 100%. You will. More and more people will get healed. More and more people will get miracles. Ooh, Lord, I didn't know you were going to go there, but I will. Okay. Because we do what he says. Do y'all remember? Now, some of y'all weren't here, but someone can fill you in on this. Remember when we watched Chambok? And he told the story of A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was having a meeting, and there was a lady there who brought a child who had 20-something, so many, 20, was it 23? Different things wrong with him. And no eyes, no organs, no hands, no feet, no nothing. Tongue hanging out. How many of y'all saw that? Okay. So he didn't have any of that. And Brother Chambok was the apprentice. And A.A. Allen was just going, you know. And that lady had come from another place. And she, I'm doing this because the Lord told me to, okay? Because it's not in my notes, but we need to. We're early. She came from another place. And I'm going to try to get the story right the best I can. So help me, Holy Ghost and Deb. She never got in the line. He never called her through the whole meeting. So she tells Brother Chambok, you got to get me to this guy. You got to get me to him. I came from Tennessee. Yeah. Came from Tennessee. He's got to get healed. And I'm down to my last $20. I'm down to my last $20. And I need him to pray for my child. Okay. So when A.A. Allen comes in, I think it's the last night or something, and he says, he never did this, but all of a sudden he called for an offering. Mm-hmm. And I won't go into all the details about that, but what happened is the lady comes running, and she had a $20 bill and threw it in there. Shambach said, I got up to see it because I wanted to see if she really had $20. And he's a card, I tell you. And so she put it in the offering. And that was her act of faith. She was a doer of the word. I'm going to get in here. Then, all of a sudden, A.A. Allen goes into this place in the Holy Ghost. Like I just did a minute ago when the Lord told me to tell this. And he says, lady, I see you getting in the car. You're driving from Tennessee. He starts just prophesying. I see you came from Tennessee. I see you got a child with you. I see this child. And he starts naming off stuff about the child. And he says, get down here right now. Your child is going to have 23 miracles right now. Okay, so the whole crowd's going, wow. She brings the baby down. He lays hands on the baby. His tongue goes back in his mouth. Shambach says, I wasn't going to sit back there and watch. I got right up there so I could see. He said, all of a sudden, these little pools started happening in his eyes. All of a sudden, he had two pretty little eyes. All of a sudden, he had his feet started turning. Things started cracking, click, click, oh, just moving around. And this little baby started experiencing all these miracles all over his body. Just experiencing them all over. When this happened, the people started rising up as doers. They started receiving. And all of a sudden, as if someone called an army to attention, everyone in the wheelchair section stood up all at once and started walking. Crutches started flying. Hearing aids started pulling out. All of these miracles started to happen. They were all over the place. Brother Shambach, the story he tells is called The Greatest Miracle He Ever Saw. From this little child getting healed, and he got healed. He got healed. He could hear. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. They put him down, and he's walking a little bit, and he speaks his first word. He looks up and says, Mama. I mean, the crowd's going wild. Going wild. Every person there got healed. Don't tell me God can't. It's recorded. It's His miracles are recorded. They have stuff on film from A.A. Allen. It's old black and white stuff, just like Brother Roberts. But that child got totally healed. She brought that child back to one of Shambach's next meetings, and she says, and I report to you, he has all of his organs that you could not see under his clothes. But everybody there got healed. Because healing was in the house. Well, I'm here to tell you, healing's in the house. I'm here to tell you, prosperity's in the house. I'm here to tell you that there's an anointing on you. There's a blessing on you. Be a doer of the word of God. And act this out. Watch for a prompting. Receive it today and watch for one prompting to give or to pray or to say or to declare or decree or whatever it is. Watch for the prompting of the Holy Ghost because you're going to have success. People are going to have their lives changed because of you. Because God's going to use you. He gets the glory. But God's going to use you to do it. God's going to use you to help people change. And I'm telling you, you are the match. That's what we used to call it in the old days around here. There's a song that's the match. It starts lighting the fire of the anointing in the room. There could be a person. It could be the preaching. It could be a single word. That day it was the baby. He was the match, and everybody got it. And they walked out with their healing. So I'm just going to tell you, just forget about all the yesterdays where you went and got prayed for, and you walked out still limping, you walked out still hurting, you walked out still a miracle, you gave $1,000 and you were still broke. Be a doer of the word of God and call that harvest in.
Yes, amen.
Call that harvest in. Receive that harvest. Listen, how about gone are the days where you come up with an idea or a witty invention and you go, oh, well, someone else has probably already done it. Well, I'll look into that later. Follow the promptings. That's being a doer. Are you understanding what I'm telling you today? And when you do that, you get understanding. You experienced it. You're like, you've had it since you were a baby. Let me move on to someone else. Well, you were a baby too, okay? We weren't. So you were told about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you believed it, but until you did it.
Right.
See? Being a doer will give you understanding. It'll give you understanding. This goes for healing, for learning how to pray, for prospering, for teaching, for leading. You get revelation about leading, and then you start doing it. And for loving. Hear the word, get revelation, act on the revelation, and you'll get understanding. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Revelation put into practice brings understanding. And think about understanding in a Texas cowboy way. Understanding. I have a foundation. I have understanding of this. Nobody's going to talk you out of gut that God is good. Why? Because you have an understanding. It got into your heart. You're not going, well, maybe. No, it got into your heart. God is good. He's good all the time. He did. Yeah, but what about the Old Testament? Well, we know about that. We know what was translated and what wasn't. Amen. God is good. God is the healer. God is the prosperer. Well, I don't want to go to one of those money-grabbing preachers just always want to talk about prosperity. Let me tell you something. God is trying to get something to you so that you can help change the world. This is not about boasting of riches. It's about being blessed enough to help somebody. You receive this today? Whew. Talked about that miracle. It pumped me up to another level. Thank you, Jesus. Hearing and hearing and doing. We have to become doers of the word in the right way. This is not that you get life perfect. This is not about you being perfect in your behavior. You'll get better and better at that when you learn who you are. When you look into the mirror of the Word of God and you find out that by grace you are saved through faith, not of your works, not according to your works, you become a different person and then you get the cart and the horse in the right place. You are the righteousness of God. Once you find out that's who you are, you'll start acting right. You'll drop off those things. Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're saved by grace, period. That's your title, is that you're the righteousness of God. According to the scripture, you're the righteousness of God. And then, you know, should we do what's right? Absolutely. You should do what's right because it's right. And do it right. But the truth is you're going to find some hiccups along the way. But God's going to be there with you to help you get the next step. When your baby rode the bicycle, maybe a few of yours did. They're pretty smart around here. But some of them fell down a few times. That doesn't mean that you're not the righteousness of God. Jesus paid for your sins. Get over it. Get out of fleshly works. Get out of trying to earn your salvation and live in this kind of doing part. Where you're practicing, where you're not allowing the word to return void. You said that, I saw it in a new way. I've always seen God saying, my word shall not return void. Today I saw God saying it through me. Which of course was a great revelation we already have in the house, but I just saw it new, freshly again. His word, which is now my word, will not return void, Liz. It will not return void.